It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. The sculptor Richard Hunt was born in Chicago, 1935. He spent most of his life living and working in the city. As a 19-year-old African-American, he attended the open casket funeral of Emmett Till, who had been tortured and lynched while visiting Mississippi. Hunt was roughly the same age as Till, from the same part of the city, and he was profoundly moved by the funeral. Much of his life's work would be focused on the Black experience in America, the pain, the hope, and the fight for equality. By the end of his life, in 2023, Hunt was said to have created more public sculptures than any other artist in American history. Hunt's work is the subject of an exhibition at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum in Springfield. I had the chance to visit it last week and talk about it with two men who have deep knowledge of Hunt and his work. Preston Jackson is an acclaimed sculptor and painter in his own right. His public works can be found throughout Illinois. And Ross Stanton Jordan is curator at the Jane Addams Hull House Museum in Chicago. He also curated this exhibition of Hunt's work in Springfield.
Ross, this is Brian.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. How's it going?
Hello. Brian Mackey, Preston Chan. Yeah. It's an honor to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Heard that name.
So he's based in Champaign with WILL.
That's right.
I spoke with him last Thursday afternoon and began by asking Ross Jordan what made Hunt's work unique.
Richard Hunt, unique as an American sculptor, I think there's a few things. One, he was a really very prolific artist throughout his entire career. So he started, you know, making artwork and being interested in art at a very young age in his teens, and worked basically his entire life. So we really have a body of work that covers sculpture and works on paper for his, you know, young adulthood through to his just before he passed away, and so that's relatively remarkable. He has more public sculptures in the public realm than any other artist in the United States, which is a tremendous achievement. So you can really think of him as an artist who really transformed the American landscape with his public art interventions across the country. And then he also stuck with a particular abstract form of metalwork through many, many changes in the artistic practice in the art world. And that's also just a remarkable kind of independence that is unique and I think makes him kind of an inspiration for many artists. And many artists, I think, feel drawn toward his work and his legacy and use that as a point of inspiration.
Preston Jackson, how did you first encounter Richard Hunt and his work?
Well, it was early. I was like 19 years old, but being an artist myself, my life is quite similar to Richard's. Started early and was fascinated by life itself, life forms, you know, in the way of plants and so forth. I think I leaned a little bit heavier toward figurative art at the time, and I also do paintings. But I think the thing that drew me to Richard was just, you know, I admired him. I admired his work. I admire his philosophy, his life, and definitely technique, because those were times when artists did not have a lot of money, and he took found objects and said something very powerful, and I wanted to be a part of that. And so my life became attached, welded to his life, and I went from there.
Welded, I heard what you did there. Ross, you used the word intervention earlier. Say more about that. I thought that was an interesting choice of word, his interventions on the landscape.
Oh, yeah, it's just my way of kind of describing public art. I think we come across it as kind of a passive viewer. You walk and you see something strange in the landscape, whether it's in your city or town, and you don't know what it is. And it's going to be very different than the lawn or the tall buildings next to it. And that kind of striking intervention is a really interesting way to come across artwork when we're used to seeing it inside galleries. And so having artists willing to kind of work through the public process to bring artwork to public spaces is very different than the way the architecture works. It's very different than the way you're building a bridge works or building a home. Art does something very different because it's speaking to people's humanity instead of, say, commerce or transportation. It's about something of the mind and something of the body, and having that in a landscape is a really an intervention. And so particularly Richard Hunt's artwork, I think, you know, has activated many, many cities, particularly a piece, Eagle's Column, which is just outside of his studio in Lincoln Park in Chicago. It's in a small park just at cross street from Hunt's studio. And it was kind of became a model, really, for public art and how community could be engaged with an artist to create something that wasn't there before, that isn't a building, isn't necessarily a public works, but is a response to Hunt's artistic practice and kind of the themes and ideas of community members that he's working with. So those kinds of, I think of them as interventions because they're not necessarily based on commerce or economics, they're based on a bit of our humanity and kind of expanding that notion in the landscape in cities like Chicago is really important.
It's interesting because one of the other connotations of the word intervention is a confrontation, right? Maybe you have an intervention with somebody you love, you think they don't quite understand something about themselves they should. And it can be difficult to deliver that message sometimes, yes?
Right. You know, and that's what makes his work important. It's the way he contacts, or the way he comes, how he expresses himself on subjects that are somewhat, you know, afraid. I mean, we were afraid to talk about certain things. But he approached it from an entirely different point of view. He's an abstract sculptor. You know, that's what Ross mentioned before. And he chose that instead of any other form of art. So he's more original, even though his work, in some eyes, are either far out or maybe too much like the mainstream or too much like David Smith and some other artists of that time. But I'm saying that fame and notoriety or the ability to understand his particular work is the fact that it is so unique, deadly unique, and no fear whatsoever, you know, and that's kind of the way I feel about it, my work, you know. It was a shoe that fits very well. And to study with him or to be mentored by him or any other connection has enriched my life, you know, quite a bit.
Illinois sculptor Preston Jackson, reflecting on his relationship with the sculptor Richard Hunt, who's the subject of an exhibition at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. We've also been talking with Ross Jordan, curator of that exhibit. We're going to hear more from my conversation with these men, taped last week, coming up after a short break here on the 21st Show. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the life and work of the late Illinois sculptor Richard Hunt. He was a lifelong enthusiast of music, especially jazz and classical music from the Baroque period, which is why we're hearing Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 6. Hunt was born in 1935, and by the 1960s, he had already gained enough notoriety for his work to be interviewed by the Chicago writer and broadcaster Studs Terkel. Hunt's work was abstract, hard to describe, open to interpretation, as we can hear with Studs trying to get Hunt to explain what he had in mind with a particular piece.
Well, what does this mean? What does it represent? How did it come about?
Yeah. Well,
This work and the other one here are two pieces in a series that I've called Minor Monuments. And it was an attempt on my part to give a sort of monolithic, monumental feeling to work that's sort of figurative, sort of symbolic, that includes sort of a lot of sort of forms that relate to the human figure, or animal forms, that sort of thing, and combining them in a sort of, I hope, somewhat impressive way.
Hunt's work is the subject of an exhibition at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum in Springfield. It's called Freedom in Form and runs through April 20th. Last week, I visited the exhibit and spoke with the curator, Ross Jordan. I also got to talk about Hunt with his friend, Preston Jackson, another renowned Illinois artist.
I wonder if we might pick a certain piece here and talk about it. Curator's choice.
Yeah, this is great. I think what would be really evocative right now?
Middle Passage Monument?
Yeah, I mean, I love talking about Middle Passage. We can definitely talk about that one, and maybe we can do the Arrow Ascending, too.
Model for Middle Passage Monument, 1987, cast bronze.
This is a fantastic work. It made in 1987. I was born in 1984, so this is created 3 years after I was born. And I was born in Atlanta, Georgia, and I saw this piece. This is probably the first Richard Hunt work that I saw at a gallery, I think, in Savannah, Georgia, or on Spelman's campus. I cannot remember. But I grew up in Atlanta, and of course, Atlanta has a great civil rights history. It also was a great cotton-growing center, Georgia. And of course, was a port of call for ships arriving in the Middle Passage. And so even near where I grew up, there were old slave auction buildings, and the history of the civil rights movement was all around me. And the first time I saw this piece in a gallery, as a young artist myself, I realized that there wasn't a monument to the Middle Passage, or any kind of history that was visible in the landscape of my life that acknowledged the Middle Passage. And this is just a model for the Middle Passage. It looks like basically a schooner that's been brought onto the landscape and dropped down, or maybe it got stuck on a barge or something, and it's been left there to decay.
Right.
And yeah. Hunt has designed kind of a stairway that walks you up into the bowels of the ship as it's decaying into the ground.
Actually pulls you toward
it. It does. It does. You kind of get drawn to it. Uh-huh. And so I love this intervention in the landscape because it's a history that you can't see. And this was Hunt trying to make that visible. In a more architectural way than in most of his artistic practice. But Preston, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And the fact that we're not aware of it in the piece, it seems as though it realizes that this is going to be hidden. It's like the sands blowing over some ancient Egyptian thing. And when it clears away, there's something that still speaks, mm-hmm. although we can't see the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And you have people leading up to it, having to somehow engage with these passageways. And on the opposite, clean on the opposite side, you see them exiting, maybe toward the ships to be loaded. But I like what you said, Ross, about the idea that, it's not in your face. It's something that demands that you discover. And in doing so, you discover a truth that we should be listening to.
This would be the size of a small park itself. Where can we go see it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this was never realized. And it's just a maquette. And it probably was never even commissioned. It might have been something that Hunt was just thinking through himself. The important thing, I think, is that it's also, it's in part inspired by Hunt's friend, Robert Hayden, who was a poet and wrote a piece of poetry about the Middle Passage, absolutely famous, wonderful poem, that really talks about the Middle Passage being a kind of passage through death.
Middle Passage, voyage through death to life upon these shores. 10th April, 1800, blacks rebellious, crew uneasy. Our linguist says their moaning is a prayer for death, ours and their own. Some try to starve themselves. Lost three this morning, leap with crazy laughter to the waiting sharks, sang as they went under.
And so for me, this really is about, it's also about two artists kind of really dealing with the Middle Passage, the horror and pain of that and what it brought to the United States, and dealing with that together, even when the country wasn't thinking through it, right? These were artists who were thinking through that deeply because they could see the effects of it all around them, even in the 1970s and 80s.
You know, the first thing that I gather from this is, and I'm still feeding off of some of the things that you mentioned, it has a feeling of being a sundial, something which is about time, passing time. And this definitely has that feeling. So it's not just about a pictorial view of a particular thing, you know, but as a whole, it feels like something, you know, it feels like something that's trying to communicate in a special way, especially the fact that we enter it and exit it. And another thing about it, it's always us walking upward towards something like a pyramid, or the Indian mounds, Native American mounds at Cahokia, and that kind of stuff. But definitely the feel, you know, is very much like a dial of something. Look, did you notice this feels like water? Everything is softened to the eye.
Yeah.
You know, it flows depending on how the light hits the surface of these things, especially the highlighted areas. Mm-hmm. And then the piece gets very busy on one side, as though the exiting is more powerful or more important or more involved than the entrance way.
Yeah.
The more you look at it, you begin to see different things. It kind of breaks it down to you, you know.
Maybe it's a naive question, but you know, when you think and have visions at these sort of scales, you could make the maquette, is that the right term? You can make the maquette, but you're dependent on so many other people to see it actually realized.
Yeah.
Is there frustration with that?
No, that's a good point. Because if we bend our knees and look upward to it, we're looking at Noah's Ark. And that whole idea of forcing the eye to engage. And I like the word pulling. You're pulled towards something, led towards something, you know. And people that were in slavery, you know, experiencing chains and all of this stuff, pulled toward a destiny that wasn't so pleasant.
I love that interpretation.
I'm going to need some help getting up.
Okay.
No, I'm just...
What else should we look at? We should do one more.
Yeah.
We should do one more.
It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're listening back to my conversation with Ross Jordan, the curator of an exhibit on Richard Hunt at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum, and also Preston Jackson, who was a contemporary and friend of Hunt, also a renowned Illinois artist in his own right. For the last part of our conversation, we talk about a study for a piece that will be built eventually outside the home of Emmett and Mamie Till Mobley in Chicago. It's called Hero Ascending.
I like talking about this work, Maquette for Hero Ascending, because with this exhibition, Freedom Form, Richard Hunt, it really is the new work that we've added to the exhibition. It was commissioned for this exhibition and created by his studio. It's a maquette for the Mamie Till and Emmett Till Memorial that will be at the family home, the Till family home, you know, on the south side of Chicago. And when it's completed, it'll be a 15-foot tall steel sculpture. The maquette we have in the exhibition is a cast bronze piece. But what it is doing is it's has all the hallmarks of Richard Hunt, this angular base, mm-hmm. the twisting forms that are rising up and up and up and up and up, and then kind of exploding. I think of this as really like a bird almost unfurling its wings. Tons of movement, tons of interest. And of course, Richard Hunt himself was deeply affected by Emmett Till's murder in 1955. And I think of Emmett Till as really Hunt's neighbor. And it was a moment that brought together the South Side of Chicago and started the kind of modern civil rights movement. And affected Hunt's artistic practice as a 19-year-old. And so it's really powerful for us to have this maquette for Hero Ascending in this exhibition.
And it bookends
the exhibition, yeah. But it also just points to the future that this is an object that Hunt didn't get to complete, but he did the designs for it, and his studio will install it in the next few years. Mm-hmm. But it's really powerful to come to an end of an exhibition, be able to point to the future with this powerful addition, Hero Ascending.
I agree. Everything you said.
This is 3D printed. That's what they did. So they you, what is it called? They 3D printed it.
Yeah.
And then in metal, or is that metal?
No, in foam.
Foam. Yeah.
Yeah.
And plastic. Yeah, and then burnt that out in the casting, right. and then poured a bunch of these.
That stuff will actually burn out, you know.
Yeah, but I don't want to get too technical, but it's really cool.
I know. It's like Richard has crossed over in today's technology, and he has that habit of doing that. But I just want to say that when you see a seed, the results of a seed that's planted in an area that's difficult, like bricks, mm-hmm. but the persistency of weeds to grow through those bricks, you know, something that's very geometric, and here's the result, persistency.
Well, thank you both so much for spending time with me today here in this exhibit.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. This is great.
Thank you.
Ross Jordan and Preston Jackson at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. The exhibit, which Jordan curated, is called Freedom in Form, Richard Hunt. It's open now through April 20th. I mentioned earlier that Hunt was a lifelong music aficionado. One of his artistic visionary contemporaries was Miles Davis, so we leave you with him today. Coming up tomorrow on the 21st show, we'll talk with Illinois Congressman Sean Casten, who is not happy about what some of his Democratic Senate colleagues did in order to allow the federal government to continue operating. That includes Illinois Senator Dick Durbin. We'll talk with him about that. Plus, we'll have a conversation on continued potential fallout in Illinois of the tariffs that President Trump seems so intent on imposing, and in some cases has already imposed. That's all coming up tomorrow here on The 21st Show. You can find out more about our program by visiting our website, 21stshow.org. While you're there, you can also find links to subscribe to our podcast, and you can also get in touch with us through our email address, voicemail line. It's all there at our website, 21stshow.org. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. And Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.